very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Run-Through, your favorite figure skating podcast, where we talk about all of the things that make us kiss, make us cry, make us travel to Beijing, China, and make us be Adam Rippon, Ashley Wagner, and not Olympic champion Sarah Hughes.
Wow, thank you for that lovely introduction, Adam.
Of course.
Adam, I think we should also introduce a new process that we're going to try today.
We should. Would you like to take the reins?
You are the most organized of the three of us, and so I feel like you should explain what we are doing. Because last week we got off of our recording, and we were like, y'all, that was a mess.
Yeah, and it was.
And it was a mess. Squirrel brain was real.
Yeah, so we have a tendency to jump around a lot on this show, mm-hmm. and we felt like we loved the way that it went this summer with the lore episodes, where we had one person sort of taking us through something with the others interjecting with their observations or questions or reactions. And so what we have done for Chinese Nebelhorn, aka the Olympic qualifying competition, aka Skate to Milano,
aka Beijing Nebelhorn, as of last week, last Wednesday.
That's correct. Yes, Beijing Nebelhorn,
as right. cited I'm by so me. Sorry. I'm so. What am I thinking?
Yeah, come on.
And so, what we've done for this competition is we've split up the four disciplines amongst ourselves, so that for each discipline, other than pairs, which we're going to kind of do together, but the other three disciplines, we have each watched them ourselves and we'll take the other two through them. We've all kind of seen some of everything, but we think that will be maybe a more fun and also slightly more organized, easier to follow way for us to do this. So,
yeah, so
tell us if you like it or not, because mm-hmm. we are curious, but we think we're going to like it and we hope that you also like it.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to like it, so we're probably going to do this, but also if you like it, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Send us a comment. Give us a 5-star review. Well, because I'll say that I edited the episode last week, and I immediately texted the girls, and I said, after editing Lore this summer, it was quite a jarring experience to be editing a normal episode. And to all of the people who said, wow, they really jump around, it's the first time I heard it with clear ears. And I
fresh
went,
ears.
Oh, wow, we do. And am I a huge part of that? I am. But I'm also going to be a huge part of the solution, as I think I will be leading this episode off with the tale of the Beijing Olympic qualifying men's category lore reader, interpreter.
Your official title.
Yes. So are you women ready?
Wait, I'm sorry. We're not going to do pairs first?
No.
Oh, no, we're doing pairs first.
Okay,
but
I also have to say one thing.
We agreed on doing pairs first 5 minutes ago. And
yeah,
that was a long time
this
ago.
This is not the plan.
Who proposed that we do pairs first? Me.
You did.
All right. On that note, I'm going to quit, you guys.
So while you are busy quitting, why don't we take a second to really explain what Road to Milano / what the kids are calling
Chinese Nebelhorn.
Now I'm like Beijing Nebelhorn.
I know, I'm scared. Well, now I'm like, I just proposed a layout of the show and I just on air.
Changed it.
Yeah, we can do a broad, if you need a catch up on what this competition was. It's the final qualifier for the Olympic Games in February. There are, in each discipline, a combination of skaters who are trying to essentially confirm an additional spot that their country earned at the World Championships, where a good example being Luna Hendricks here to try to get a second spot for Belgium, because Nina Pinzeroni was high enough for two spots at Worlds for Belgium, but there wasn't a second skater there. So they need to send a skater here to confirm it. So that's one thing you might be doing if you're skating here. Another thing is your country doesn't have any spots and you're trying to get one for them. And then the final example is in the singles, you might be a neutral athlete who is from Russia or Belarus, and you are trying to earn a spot as a neutral athlete, and that spot goes to you specifically, not to them as a slot. So those are the three things that are happening here. There are on paper 4 dance spots available, 3 pair spots available, 5 in each singles discipline available. I'm saying on paper because there are some situations where it's possible that later on, entries aren't due for the Olympics until the end of January. And it's possible that if there's a country that can't use one of its entries, that an additional person from this competition, the next person down, might get one. So, but for the purpose of last week, there were 5, 5, 3, 4 mm-hmm. available.
Got it.
So 3 in pairs, which is where we begin.
Where right. we begin.
And I got to say, God, it is nice to have somebody who is in
knows
Olympic research
the
on the podcast.
Notice how I presented the question, sat back.
Yeah. I knew
I
what
said,
you
so
were
guys,
doing.
Let's explain.
I turned my
and
mic
when
on
I said,
mute.
Let's, I said, let's, Sarah, let's let Sarah explain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So pairs.
Ay, ay, ay.
No surprises with
no.
who qualified for these Olympic spots. I think we were always expecting the Chinese to gain a spot,
mm-hmm.
The Armenians to gain a spot, and the Japanese who felt on the bubble until their scores came in to get that third spot.
Yeah,
and I mean,
I think
that's
if anyone
a huge
is...
moment for Japan.
Yeah, it was awesome because they fell yeah. in their short program, and so they were down in fourth, and mm-hmm. they were able to come back up, and it was like a really nice moment for them. It's really exciting for them. So they got their second spot. Obviously, Riku Mura and Ryuichi Kihara will likely use the first spot.
mm-hmm.
Assuming they're healthy, they will.
They be leading that team.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. But this was a cool moment for Japan. I think the Armenians, if anything, was the surprise of this. And I still wouldn't call it like a shock. I think coming into this competition, there were honestly like 6 or 7 teams that could contend for one of these 3 spots, you know, depending on how people skated, especially because pairs can be volatile and you just don't know if people are going to fall or what's going to
oh
happen.
God,
and
Sarah,
normally they
volatile
do
is the perfect way to describe this discipline.
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is
dangerous. It's volatile. It makes it sound like it is some kind of explosive device. And it really is. It could go off at any moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, the Kovalev team, Camille and Pavel Kovalev, condolences to them because they were second yeah. in the short program and then ended up in fourth. But again, there is a possibility of a fourth pair spot opening up this year. So that could end up going to them.
And particularly in pairs, which going back to like the volatility of the sport, you just really never know if you're going to have your athletes healthy enough to make it all the way through to February. It's a long season. Someone might get injured. So it's not like it's done and dusted for them. But at the same time, like I feel like part of the thing that makes this event so cool to watch is you're watching Olympic dreams come true, right? Some of these athletes mm-hmm. are fighting for a spot for their country. That's amazing. You get to watch someone realize, oh my God, I'm going to the Olympics. Then you also see athletes like the French pair team where you're right on that bubble, second place in the short program, and then just falling into fourth where you're right there mm-hmm. and it's the coulda, shoulda, woulda of it all yeah. where now you've lost that spot. So they're kind of sitting and waiting.
I think also, you know, aside from the French, the Americans who had the opportunity yeah. to gain a third spot here, now Team USA will only have 2 spots in mm-hmm. the pairs. It's not shocking. It was like a really big obstacle and it was a very big challenge for the Americans to try to gain that third spot
right.
But you know it's disappointing to this team of Audrey Shin and Balaj Naj. Did you guys think that they should have sent Emily Chan and Spencer Howe?
I mean, you just never know what kind of condition they're going to be in. I mean, they're always dealing with some kind of injury. You don't know how many run-throughs they've really been able to get under their belt. I think when it comes to like a skate-off, obviously this U.S. team was sent because they looked the most prepared in, I'm assuming, August when they were looked at. And so it's really one of those things where you just never know. Also, the mental strength that these athletes need to go and fight for an Olympic spot in September when your programs are so fresh and you are barely trusting that you can get through a program to begin with. And then adding in pairs on top of that, which I would argue is probably one of the most physically taxing disciplines. I think for the U.S. team to go and get that third spot, it was kind of like a wish list item, right? It would have been really nice to have, but it wasn't something that we were expecting for them to accomplish. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens in the U.S. because, I mean, can we even confirm if we're going to be able to send Misha and
I think we feel pretty confident we're not going to be able to send that team. Yeah, I think the challenge with the way that they did this is they made a decision, I think, at Champs Camp, U.S. Figure Skating did, based on what they were seeing, that Audrey and Balazs were going to be the team to go. And then all of the U.S., I don't want to say all, but most of the U.S. pair teams went to John Nix, the pairs challenger. And Audrey Shin and Balazs Nagy significantly scored beneath Emily and Spencer. And I think that was why a lot of people, and
pushing back.
Katie McBeath and Danielle Parkman outbeat both of them at that competition, and so I think that was I think that was where the questions came from. And to your point, Ashley, we don't know all of the factors that went into the decision. It is from the outside sort of an odd way to do it. If you know that all of your teams are going to go to this event, why not wait and make a decision there?
That? Right.
I don't really know.
I think it's just really tough for this team watching Audrey and Balazs. I mean, Audrey is newer to pairs. So when you're putting her in a position where she's fighting for an Olympic spot for not necessarily her, but for your country, that's fucking tough. And watching them skate, particularly the free skate, having trained with her and seen what she looks like on the ice day to day, she looked terrified. She looked absolutely terrified. I mean, there were handholds that they were missing. There were just little bobbles here and there, and they fought through it. But I think it was just, a newer team, a newer girl to pair skating, and then you put this kind of pressure. The decision to send them, we will never know, and we can hypothesize all we want, but it was an interesting choice.
Yeah, and I think there's no guarantee that if you send a different team in this spot that they don't also succumb to these nerves. This is really a ton of pressure. And so I we can sit here and do the should they, shouldn't they have, but I mean,
it's kind of pointless.
It's sort of done now. And I don't think there's any guarantee. I don't think Spencer and Emily are so consistent that we know for sure they would have gotten a spot here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know that any of the American pairs are so good or so consistent, at least the ones who are eligible to go, that we would have felt really confident in it. So, it's hard for me to sit and question what U.S. Figure Skating did. I'd be interested to know the thought process about it.
Yeah, give us a ring, U.S. Figure Skating. Yeah. We'll keep it to ourselves. Yeah. I'm curious.
And I'll also give a shout out to Sofia Holychenko and Artem Durensky, who skated for Ukraine and ended up in fifth. I would have liked to see them get a spot. Who knows what will happen, but I think it's a little less likely in fifth place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I have one more. I have two things, actually. I have two things to mention in pairs. One, Yulia and Manuel, who competed for Iceland. I just want to say I worked with them last year. It was her first season of pairs. They've improved so much. They only got together, like I said, 2024. And they've been working so hard, but not perfect. I just am really amazed at how far she's gone as a pair girl in just a season. They kept their free skate. It looked way more comfortable for them. So really happy for them. Not in the mix at all, but just a personal moment that was really cool to see. There's an epidemic of hair glitter in this sport, and I want to talk about that.
Please.
Because women, and maybe men, I haven't noticed as much men glitter, but
okay,
you put the glitter on, and you're looking forward in the mirror, and you put it all over your head. And
I so know
when
where
you're
this
looking
is going.
Forward, you're looking at it, and you're like, wow, face-framing glitter. It brightens up my face. Mm-hmm. That is not where the camera is, baby girl.
Oh.
The camera is from up above, and the lights are shining right down on your head. Mm. You have a helmet. You look like you're wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
The hair glitter.
It's not a photo shoot. It's a video shoot.
Well, and it's not video. A motocross event. You don't need a helmet.
Well, it's pants.
I mean, you kind of need a helmet, but you don't. You shouldn't be wearing one.
Yeah. You shouldn't. Well, you probably should. Honestly,
but you can't.
But no, you can't.
You could. You definitely could.
You could.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
But it'd be. I'd be saying
you
something
want to.
Else. Then no.
I'm certain that's but not yeah. the effect they're going for.
Yeah.
No.
The hair glitter. We're being really egregious with it, and it's really just giving you like circle on the top of your head. So just okay. wanted to note that.
Thank you for noting that.
Yes.
Thank PSA. You.
I have things mm-hmm. to note. Not okay. too many in the men's, but should we move on to the men's?
I think we should.
Sure. Okay.
All right. So the men's category. Now, I think in the men's, there are some like surprising things that did happen in the men's Road to Milan Skate Olympic qualifying spots. I think we were very interested to see what was Peter Guminik from Russia, who competed for the individual neutral athletes. What was he going to look like? I've seen a little bit of his skating from some of the Russian competitions, so I know that he has like a long list of quads that he can perform. Mm-hmm. He does them well. Ashley, if you remember, we skated, he like came and skated
what?
With us in Artesia when he was like a baby. Do you remember
I
this
do
at all?
Remember. I do. He was a little baby. And he was such a little cutie.
I mean, it was like 8 years, I mean more, 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. That's the same person. That's crazy.
I mean, yeah, he's grown maybe like 3 feet since the last time I've seen him.
He's the man in the men's event.
I think his skating is like pleasant. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's like somewhat like pseudo theatrical.
What is pseudo theatrical?
I know. I think I know what you mean.
It's theatrical, but he's doing all of the things to be like, this is theater, but he's not
but feeling nothing.
Exactly. He's void of emotion.
He's pantomiming.
Doesn't he doesn't he have a short program by Danielle Gleichenkaus, which sort of the pseudo theatrics would
standard.
Be standard
I mean,
practice?
Nobody's doing more theatrics off of the ice than Danielle Gleichenkaus.
Oh my God. That's so true. This man being like, why can't I come to this event?
So I want to say something, and this kind of pertains, like, we'll talk about this in the women as well, but, like, seeing Peter Guminik at this competition reminded me of something that, like, we haven't seen in a while in competition. It is the pantomiming. And
oh, I have something else to say to this.
So I want to remind everybody about an incident that happened here in the United States. And every time I see this, like, kind of, like, Russian-style choreography, I'm, like, reminded of this.
An incident.
The year is 2017, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a woman, and her name is Derlyn Roberts. And she is caught lying about being a sign language interpreter for a press conference.
Oh, my God,
for the
yes.
For the Tampa Police Department, okay? And so she is standing at this press conference doing American Sign Language. Like, she says that she's an American Sign Language interpreter. And she's just doing a bunch of things with her hands at this press conference. And then later, the deaf community is like, she doesn't speak sign language. She just made a bunch of stuff up. And that's what I think of when I see this, like, choreography. Because Peter is going around. And this is something I haven't seen in a while. But it's like... Yes, this is like the Russian style where like...
It's the Russian way.
They'll go skating towards the judges and they'll like hold their stomach like they have a tummy ache. And then they'll do like the number one. And then that number one turns to a gun to their head. They shoot themselves. They die. And then they look at both hands like there's a mirror in their hands. They look up laughing hysterically, and then they do a peace sign. And then that's like the choreography.
Well, they're skating in emojis.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. He's like, doing a guess this emoji.
Yes. Game. Oh my God, it's a game show. Yeah. Well, they do like a lot of game shows. So maybe that's what it's coming.
100%.
Yeah. And I, you know, he's, there's something like, there's something kind of charming about him. Like he seems like a nice guy. But I will say like men with frizzy ponytails, it's a no for me. I think men with frizzy ponytails, they're supposed to be like
cut off.
Yeah.
Straighten it. Get a Brazilian blowout.
Oh, true. Keratin. Get a keratin treatment.
Medium hold hairspray. Like,
oh, well, yeah. Just
anything.
Anything, because it looks like you are like, it looks like, it looks bad. It looks really uncomfortable to me. Okay?
It's not uncomfortable. It's actually probably more comfortable because they're doing less.
Yeah. But okay, so he had a ponytail in the short program. Okay. But the free skate, a loose bun, I mean.
I'm looking this up right now. You mean like a little.
Like it looked like somebody said.
What are you talking about?
A low bun that was like, it looked like it was done by the U.S. women's gymnastics team. Like, you know how they just like throw it up?
The messy buns. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, come on, Peter. Marta Caroli is not waiting to see if you're going to make
the
Olympic
wings.
Team. She's not. It looks like Mariah Bell did his hair. It was going to fall out. Not good.
Okay.
But,
so beyond pantomiming, the loose bun.
I think that he's
quads.
Like, he's pleasant, very pleasant, but like, okay. I don't think that he will be like in the.
What
in
is
the
he skating to?
Mix. Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
It's no, kind of both a, of the yeah. same
well,
thing.
Well, it's tummy ache, one grape.
Well, he shoots himself in the head. He looks at his hands. He looks up. He's hysterically laughing.
Does he really shoot himself in the head?
Well, yeah, of course.
Is he skating to like the Joker or something?
No, it's something.
He's doing
like,
Perfume, right? The murder story. Is it in the short program? That he does that?
No, he shoots himself in the head in the free skate.
Oh, so so we don't know.
No, yeah,
wait,
like that's what I mean.
Even funnier.
Yeah, because in the short program, there's like, and this is like crazy, where it's like he does kind of pull out this like handkerchief where it does look like sort of like my daughter had her first period in the year is like 1721.
You haven't experienced many periods.
Certainly not in the year 1721.
Certainly.
And I don't want to say this.
Running to daddy.
It's a bloody rag.
I don't like that.
Okay. Well, sounds like we're really not just vibing with the creative choices.
But I say all of this to say that, like, there's something about him that I find him charming. And I think that he's, like, I like him. I do like him.
Okay. And he won this competition very easily, correct?
Oh, very, 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 very easily. Like, 30-plus points ahead of everyone else.
Okay.
The real competition for these Olympic spots was that 2 through 5. Who was going to get in that anywhere between like that silver medal and 5th place. And so in the short program, the theme of this for these Olympic spots really was like quality was going to win over.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody who won their Olympic spot in the short program was Donovan Carrillo.
I want to talk about this kid. I fucking love him. I'm so excited for him.
It was definitely this really and really brilliantly done. He's improved so much over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
The jumps look solid and the skating has just been more refined and it's cleaner over the last few seasons. He's really grown up a lot since the Beijing Olympics and mm-hmm. this short program was just done so well. And this is how he won this Olympic spot. He struggled in that free skate. Like, he was 9th in the free skate. But it was this really strong short program and convincingly, like, in second place.
He's such a short program skater. I mean, it was the same thing at Worlds. And it wasn't necessarily enough for him to qualify. I don't think he made it to the free skate. But he, I think, really thrives with, like, jump, jump, jump. Sell your soul. He's really fun to watch on the ice. I'm excited that we get to see him on Olympic ice.
Can I tell a fun story about him? Always. So you guys know that I was at the World Aquatics Championships a couple months ago in Singapore. And one of my friends works for USA Diving. And so I went over to the diving pool to see her one day, and we were just chit-chatting. And Mexico has a really strong diving program. And so we were just kind of talking because we were watching the diving happen, talking about the Mexican divers, because the Mexican Diving Federation has had like some corruption issues, whatever. We're just talking about them. And she said, I actually met a Mexican figure skater last time Mexico hosted a competition. And I was like, okay. Well, I think I know who that has to be, but who was it? She was like, I'm trying to remember his name, but I got a picture with him because he came to the diving competition and everyone was treating him like a huge celebrity.
And you said, I know exactly
who this is. Oh, I love this.
I mean, I just love hearing that he's like, you know, getting this star treatment at sporting events and stuff where she was like, everybody was lined up to take pictures with him. So I just got a picture with him because I felt like I should.
I needed it.
And she pulled out the picture and sure enough, there he was, Donovan Carrillo.
I mean, I got off the plane in Mexico City for my seminar this summer. Walk, 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 waiting for my bags. I'm just like scrolling on my phone. I look up. Donovan Carrillo on a banner.
Love that. He's
like, that. An ad in real life. In Mexico. I was like, what was he doing at the airport?
I know. I'd be like, I actually.
Selling
don't know
banners.
Where I'm supposed to be going. Yes, selling banners. His own. I'm happy that not only does he have a sponsor that I think is a bank, but he is going to be going to the Olympics.
Yeah, it's that great. Sponsor. Congratulations to him.
Happy.
Adam, he wasn't the only one who was in a good position to qualify who had a tough free skate, correct?
No, he wasn't, because there was from France, Francois Pitot. Again, like quality was winning over, and that's the theme of the whole competition. Francois went out and he had a really strong short program, really well skated, and he found himself in third place after the short program. So, and then in fourth place after the short program from South Korea, we had Kim Hyun Yum, who we've seen him before. He really, like I'm telling, when we get to the free skate, he gave it everything that he absolutely had. He wanted to go to the Olympics. And he has the same coach as Chae Young.
Mm.
And she was so excited for him. And it was like, that was really fun to see. Then on the bubble, we had a few skaters, and one of them from Ukraine was Krylo Marsak, and we had another skater from Chinese Taipei, Hu Sang Lee.
Mm-hmm. Who was doing the Beatles, right?
Yes. He has such a fun energy to him when he's skating, and he's just, you know, he's very, like, lovable. You can't not smile when you watch him. But now there's one more skater in the mix, and it was David Luton-Brain from Monaco.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So in the short program, again, like super solid, just did everything as well as he could. No triple axel, but solid triples, a solid double axel. Now let's get to the free skate, because this is when like the real like
things
drama
start to get
happens.
Mixed up.
Yeah. So like I said, Peter, he's fine. He's like blowing past the rest of the field.
And they have five spots that they're really fighting for.
Yes. From South Korea, Kim Hyun Yum. Skates a great, really, really strong free skate. He's in the clear. Donovan, the strong short program, that's helping him because this Elvis free skate is not going well. We're tripping, we're slipping, we're popping.
Yeah, we are.
We are punching a ticket to Milan. Like I said, like that short program, he was doing a quad triple, solid triple axel. It saved the day. Krylo Marsak, he's able to kind of pull himself into the top four here. So he's going to be fine. He's going to get one of those spots.
Which also, like, I just feel really good about that. I feel like it's worth noting, like, seeing a Ukrainian not necessarily get, like, bumped out of an Olympic spot because of a Russian neutral athlete.
Yes.
Feels like a win.
Absolutely. And he does this short program where it's like a tribute to his father. And it's you can just tell there's so much emotion like so many things that these Ukrainian athletes have gone through. It's just, it's unbelievable that they're even at this point that they can compete and try to get these Olympic spots. And I can't imagine what they're going through or what they're feeling, that there are these Russian athletes in these competitions.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Well, and was he the one whose stuff got stolen in the locker room? All his stuffed animals that got thrown on the ice got stolen from the skaters' locker room?
Yeah. Basically, like, when you're done competing, the sweepers will, like, collect all of the stuffed animals, and they'll put them in these, like, garbage bags. And they'll put, like, a name over the garbage bag. And usually after you're done, there's so much commotion that they're still collecting the stuffed animals. They're over in, like, a different mm-hmm. spot of the arena. And so usually the next day when you come in, they'll be sitting in the locker room, or there's, like, an area where you can go and pick everything up.
And it's not, like, high security. It's just, like, well, usually a name tag or something on your bag.
In this situation, Krila was saying that they put all of these stuffed animals in the locker room where you needed
an athlete credential. Yeah.
That okay, you were so a skater had yeah, you, to get in.
Yeah, you needed an athlete credential to get into the locker room, into this space. And he posted something on Instagram along the lines of, like, his name was ripped and all of the, like, stuffed animals were, like, taken from the locker room. And that, like, hey, I'm not enemies with anybody. I don't understand why anybody would do this. So somebody went into the locker room. Had to have been some athlete
unless it's after
something, or somebody who was wearing at least
unless it's after hours and somebody
athlete,
did it.
Unless it's after
somebody
hours.
Else got in there, but, like, yeah, right. That sucks. It just feels very personal.
It feels very
it's less
bad.
About the stuffed. It's less about the stuffed animals. It's just like it's very personal.
It's, yeah, it's
no,
not
of
even
course
about
not.
The stuffed animals.
No, it, like, why? Why go out of your way to make someone feel uncomfortable, unwanted, and just attacked in that way? That's not cool.
So the way that this works out is you have Yu Xiang Li from Chinese Taipei. He goes out and he skates maybe the free skate of his life. He skates this great free skate. He, you know, lands a triple axel. It does get counted as under-rotated, but when you're watching this, you don't get the effect of like, oh, that didn't look right. It's just a call by the judges. He's elated. He gets his scores. He's emotional. He'll end up getting third in the free skate. Now, it is very, very close. So David Luton-Brain goes out, and he skates this really strong, high quality, great skating, really nice choreography, and everything seems to be going well. Does not try triple axel, lands all of these, like, solid triple jumps, doesn't seem to, like, make any sort of, you know, wrong move throughout this until we get to the very last spin.
I hate this.
And he gets into the last spin. It's awful. He gets into the last spin. I mean, there's like 10 seconds left. And he starts with a flying camel and he hops over into a forward sit spin. When he hops over, the free leg, like, whacks the ice and he just loses all the momentum and obviously loses all of the levels. And it feels like it's just this, oh, it's okay, I did everything kind of mistake. Until you start looking at the score box and you're like, oh my God, no. There's no way where it's coming down to, like, he didn't make any mistake throughout this whole competition except for this one stupid, it's truly a stupid mistake in this spin. And he gets edged out. He gets edged out by Yu Xiang Li by less than 1 point. And that's the difference for getting that Olympic spot.
Yeah.
And that's the, like, soul crushing and the beauty of a competition like this, because I don't think anybody was thinking of Yu Xiang Li getting that spot. It's this beautiful moment where it's like, oh my God, this someone's Olympic dream is coming true.
Yeah, and someone else's is not. And for something that I'm sure just, like, doesn't happen in practice, and, like, he probably has just no idea why or how that happened in that spin.
It's so frustrating because that's a mistake that happens when you let your guard down for 1 second. And I can only imagine that after he skates this, I say in quotes, clean program of all of these, like, well done jumps, that he must hop into that first flying camel feeling like, okay, I did it, hops over and he wasn't finished yet.
Ugh, God, that's awful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the name of the game. It's the name of the game.
That's tough. I'm very, very happy for everyone who got a spot. I just like, oh, I hate that feeling. That it was just.
Yeah.
I know
that like the cusp skaters are the ones where your heart just breaks because it really does come down to like this. Oh,
right.
If I had just done this thing.
Oh, okay. So. Thank you, Adam.
No, thank you. I would love to dance.
To dance.
I know. Okay, to the dance, please.
So.
Wait, I'm going to say something. I do think that this is going well.
Oh, just wait until I haven't done any lore. I'm so nervous to talk about women because you've had a whole summer of lore.
No, you're going to do great. I have complete faith in you. Complete
faith.
Yeah,
you will do great. Me too.
Okay. Well, thanks.
So I sort of have this as a little bit of a retelling because I do think it's important to know how this all unfolded. Okay. So first of all, I just have some overarching comments about the rhythm dance, which is that I really think with these 90s programs, like if you're not careful because of how like, you know, big a lot of 90s music is and like fun and exciting the rhythms are and fast the beats go, et cetera, et cetera. If you're not careful, I think you really run the risk more than usual of just coming across like you're skating with music in the background. There were just like several examples of that where if you're not really, I think with like high upbeat music, if you're not really intentional with your choreography and like really on time with the music, it starts to feel like the music is just in the background and you're skating to whatever. I mean, we talked about that with like the high-paced free skate that Alyssa Liu has, right? Where like it starts to feel like the music is just playing behind her when she's not fully right with the choreo. And so there were a few examples of that I felt like, and I feel like this 90s theme is ripe for that problem. So I'll just say that. One other thing I'm going to say, and I don't know if they did this as much in the other disciplines. I think they did it in all the disciplines. This overhead camera angle, the drone has to be retired. I can't watch figure skating like this. I don't want to watch figure skating like this, and particularly in dance.
It makes me sick.
I see nothing from that angle. I'm seeing nothing. This does not help me.
It's not cool.
It's not cool.
People who don't know figure skating, where they're like, look at this cool shot. For us, it's not cool. I don't understand what's happening.
I mean,
when
in this rhythm dance,
I
watched a Hungarian team do like, I mean, this kind of funny, like they have this move where like she goes into a split and he's doing a cartwheel behind her, which like, you know, isn't that just dance in 2025? But
yeah,
I watched that happen from overhead.
Right. It really is. Right. You want to see it in its full glory.
Right up front.
Straight on.
Exactly. A cartwheel was meant to be done from eye level.
I really hated that.
I just think that like all sport, except for like a team sport where you can from above see how a play is working out, everything else, if it's a performance, it's not like we're going to see, like they're not showing like, oh my God, Lin-Manuel Miranda was amazing in this play, and they show like him from the top of his head. Like they don't do that, right?
No.
You're supposed to see it like from the eye.
No one
level.
They don't sell seats above the ballet. So that's just an overarching note. I am, as a person who works in TV production, I'm so sympathetic to producers and directors who want to find new ways to show things and who want to try stuff. I really am. You have to know the sport that you're showing. You have to really like be willing to try something and for it not to be right and give it up. And that is, so that's that. And you know what? Later on, I might throw in a conspiracy theory.
Oh.
About this camera angle.
Honestly, the only time I feel like this could ever be helpful is that like in a replay and they draw out like the like ice coverage of a skater or something, or they show you like fast pace, but like elements, you just can't make anything out.
And to me, as a producer, that's a replay.
Mm.
that's not the way you watch the program live. You watch the program live the way that the judges are watching it. And then if there is something to call out about pattern or about ice coverage, then throw a replay in from overhead and show that. I think that's great. So agreed, Adam. I just wouldn't do it mid live program.
I'm not trying to defend them, believe me.
I know you're not. I know you never would.
No.
So I'm not going to go skater by skater, but I will. So in the rhythm dance, the Israeli team kicks us off with Ricky Martin. And that is important to note because I counted at least 4 Ricky Martin programs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's going to be a Ricky Martin kind of year.
It's going to be, I think people are, you know, it's an easy way. I don't want to say easy. It's a way to do a Latin program and meet the 90s requirement.
No, it's so true. I guess I just didn't see that coming, and that's on me.
That is on you.
I should have predicted that.
Yeah, you really should have.
I'm prepared for a lot of J-Lo, but I guess...
Yeah. So in this first group, and again, I wish I could talk about all these teams. I'm not going to. In the first group of the rhythm dance, Wang Liu are skating for China. This team hasn't skated for a couple of years for some off-ice issues that I don't feel like we need to litigate on this podcast. But that's why they're here after a while being away. And they are with Patrice Lauzon, who they've been with the Montreal School for many years. They skate fourth because, again, they haven't competed in a while, so they don't have the points. They skate fine. They're like a little slow and awkward at certain parts, but they're certainly, you know, better than the 3 other teams in this group, you know, that's who we've seen so far. And we'll just stay with that for now. They skated fine. The next group, not that great. I will say that in the second group, the team representing Cyprus was a real highlight for me. I don't know if you guys saw this team, but they do this Backstreet Boys program that is awesome. It's so high energy. They really like what I was saying at the beginning, where some of these teams have this high energy music that they're having trouble matching and then it just fades in the background. Like, that does not happen to this team. They like stick with the fast tempo. It looks exhausting. It's very like Charlie and Meryl because they are just going so fast the whole time. But they're really like, they did not earn a spot here, spoiler. But they're really fun performers. Katarina Mueller is coaching them, who I am a big fan of. It was like nice to see her with them in the Kiss and Cry. And I think they're going to be great if they keep going. They've had some injury struggles and everything. But I just wanted to like call out that program. It looked like they were doing like a pop dance workout class. It looked so hard and fast. Yeah,
I'm into that. Okay.
Yeah, Ashley, you should teach this program at Skate and Sculpt.
Honestly, I'm going to start doing it at my seminar.
It sounds sculpting.
Like it. Yeah.
it looks sculpting. Okay, so let's go to the third group where I can, you know, introduce a couple of these teams. So first team in the third group is from Sweden. It's Mila Raitan and Nikolai Majorov, who we all remember his single skating days, which were not that long ago. He was single skating.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long has he been doing dance?
3 years, since 2022. Okay. And you would never know it.
No.
I mean, he's awesome.
I had to do a double take and was like, huh?
It's crazy. It's sort of like singles was probably never where he needed to be. Like dance feels like, and I think Ted and Mark at a certain point, Ted Barton and Mark Henretti, who were doing the commentary, at a certain point remarked on that. Like, it feels like he's finally found where he's supposed to be, and that I completely agree with them. So they're great. They're obviously skating to, say it with me, Ricky Martin.
Ricky Martin.
So I've heard Livin' La Vida Loca a lot at this point in the YouTube video.
So it's not even just Ricky. It's one song in
there
particular.
Is quite a bit of Livin' La Vida Loca. And there are several other like reused Ricky Martin songs. That one stands out because it's the one I know the best. but this is like easily the best program we've seen so far in the rhythm dance. It's They're fast. They're really well matched. The program is really, really well choreographed, which that's one benefit of everybody doing the same music is like when somebody does it well, it really stands out, I think. And it helps that they, you know, like I think the composition of the program is right because they have a slow part in the middle that helps me not feel so like, you know what I mean? So they deservedly go into the lead. They probably should be ahead of Wong and Liu by more than they are because it's a less than 2-point gap. Mm-hmm. So there's an Italian team that goes after this that I think they just need a little more time in the oven. Italy sent a less experienced team than I thought they might send. They don't end up getting a spot here. They do skate really well in the free dance, but I'm going to skip ahead. Next, we have Sofia Vall and Asaf Kazimov, who are skating for Spain under Sarah Hurtado and Kirill Kalyavin, who used to be partners and who are coaching them, which is like lovely to see them as coaches. Well, we haven't heard Ricky Martin in about 6 minutes at this point.
I'm hungry.
It's time.
Bring him out. They wheel him out again. And Ricky Martin.
I will stipulate that the Spanish team has more claim to this style of music. I mean, Ricky Martin's not Spanish, but like they have more claim to be doing a Latin program than most of the skaters that have done one so far. This team has like a ton of potential. They go into second. The next skaters I want to talk about skipping ahead are Caroline Soucis and Shane Fieris, who we've known and seen forever. They used to skate for Canada. Now they skate for Ireland, and they're trying to get a spot here. They are doing a new kids on the block medley that I appreciate as a program choice because it's a little different than some of the other stuff that we've seen.
How does that translate to the ice?
It's hard to say. I mean, everything is affected by the skaters who are skating it. I don't think it's bad.
Okay.
But they are, you know, clearly getting outskated by some of these other teams that have not been together as long as they have. And that's interesting to watch. I mean, their movement is just like a little rough around the edges. It's like not sharp. It's just not sharp enough. And so that's how I felt all along was just there's like this little sloppiness throughout the program. They go into the Kiss and Cry, and this is where you kind of start to get this pit in your stomach because we keep seeing teams start to go under China and you're like, okay, I see. And I'm not saying that this program was perfect, but you start to just feel like, oh, was that like 3 points worse than China? I don't think so. And I will confess, Caroline and Shane's skating has never been my personal favorite.
Yeah. I can attest to that.
Yeah. It's just not my style and that's fine. So, but I tested myself, and right after I watched Caroline and Shane, I rewinded and watched China again to be like, what am I seeing here?
Yeah.
And I just really don't think that that gap is justified. And I'm not saying that Caroline and Shane should win this competition or anything like that. I was like, huh, okay, let's keep going. Team that I love, Yutana Yoshida and Masaya Morita from Japan. They are just delightful. They're really talented. I think it's a tough juxtaposition with them and the Irish team because their movement is so sharp and so clean right after what we just saw. And they do a DDR-themed rhythm dance, which is such a cool concept and different. And like, yeah, they're really fun to watch. And so they get fourth in this rhythm dance. So they're like right in the mix, which is really exciting. And then this is going to be the theme throughout. And I won't spend a ton of time talking about these teams because it's so like they're on such a level of their own. But the last two skaters, Holly Harris and Jason Chan for Australia, another Montreal team, they skate to J-Lo. They look like they're in February shape. They look amazing. They're so sharp. They have so much energy. This program like works great for them. Last to skate is Allison Reed and Celios Ambrulevicius, who of course are only here because they had a fall at the World Championships or they would have qualified there. So they had to come here to get their spot.
Which just feels crazy to me. Like seeing them out here competing for their spot.
Yeah.
At that caliber.
Yeah. But You know, I almost feel like this was good for them because
I've always liked them, but they look to be in a shape that I've never seen them in before. And I'm like, oh, I think it may have been one of the best things that happened to them that they went through this crazy, like, not making it to the free dance in Boston. Because they just look reinvigorated. It looks like they buckled down and were like, let's get to motherfucking work.
It was cool to see them look so comfortable. Like, they knew they belonged at the top of this competition. And I think that they know that they're the best team there. And I think that that confidence, like, really allowed them to perform more, like, with more freedom, maybe, than we've seen in the past. And I, like, yeah, I loved watching them at this competition. So they're great. They easily go into first. Okay. The rhythm dance section was longer than the free dance section because I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm now going to focus on, like, the top eight from the rhythm dance. Okay. And this is the way that it's shaking out right now. There are four spots available in dance. Remember, Allison and Salios are in an easy first. They get almost 81 points. And Holly Harris and Jason Chan are in second for Australia with 73 points. So Allison and Salios are going to need the biggest disaster of all time to not get a spot at this point. And Holly and Jason are actually 4 points ahead of third place. So they're in a really good spot too. And these two teams really don't have an issue. So in third place is Mila and Nikolai from Sweden. In fourth place, Yutana and Messiah from Japan. In fifth place, Sofia and Asaf from Spain. In sixth place, Shiyue and Xinyu from China. And then in seventh place is the Hungarian team that I didn't really talk about, who skates under Barbara Fusarpoli. All of those teams are going to factor in. So that's your top seven, okay? And just, you know, I don't know, remember where this is being skated. I will do Caroline and Shane one more time in the free dance. They skate to River Dance. He messes up on a twizzle, and I think it's a bit more costly than it might have been for another team. And I think, like, look, I'm painting this with, I should just say up front, I think the fix was in for China to get one of these Olympic spots. Okay. So
yeah,
I see this whole competition through that lens, and I'm going to tell you why. I'll make my case eventually. But I think when there is an angle like that, mistakes become more costly for other teams than they might be otherwise. So do with that what you will. I don't think Caroline and Shane were going to get a spot regardless of this twizzle mistake, but I'm just making that point. I do think this river dance program is fun, and I like their rhythm dance too. I think these programs would have been fun to see at the Olympics. I don't know that Caroline and Shane have changed their skill level that much in the last, like, 5 or 6 years. And that's just, like, not a recipe for success. The Hungarian team does a program to the Joker where his hair is spray painted green. They skate really well. The lifts are a little bit of a chore. Like, you can, they're just a little bit labored, and a bit of a chore that sort of they disrupt the program a little here and there. But they skate really well. They're really happy with their skate. They're in the kiss and cry with Barbara Fusarpoli. And before their scores go up, he says, "Give us our place. We deserve it." To the camera. But the scores come in and they go into the lead. We will see if it holds. So they do the Joker, and then ironically, the Chinese team next does Batman, which I say it's ironic because Batman's the hero of that story. So, but let's watch the program. Let's watch the program. First of all, I will say, after what I just said about the Hungarian lifts, the Chinese lifts are a breath of fresh air after some of these teams, because the lifts are a strength for them. And they're real highlights, and they look very comfortable and strong in all of their lifts, which not everyone in this field does. The rest of the program is fine. They've never had, like, the deepest edges. They still don't. And they, I noticed in both of their programs, I think they probably need more conditioning time because they just get slow by, like, halfway through both programs. And they feel a little, they just feel tired and slow by the end. But they, you know, They skate fine. They finish and they act like they've just skated a gold medal winning program at the Olympics themselves. They're like very happy celebrating on the ice. And they go into the lead by about a point. Now, that's not weird. They were beating all of these teams before. So they go into the lead. Fine. Okay. Spain goes. Again, I really like this team. And I think they are going to have like a lot of potential as they get better. But I really like the Spanish team. They actually go into the lead ahead of China. So Spain's in a good spot, but there's four teams to go, four spots available. So you can tell that they're like holding their breath and kiss and cry as to whether this is going to hold up. Okay. Japan is next. This Japanese team, again, I love this team. And they're skating to Turandô, and they're in their best Shen and Zhao red and black Turandô costumes. They open with their character step, which is unusual. A lot of the teams have, they put it towards the end. I love this move to do it at the beginning. I think it's like, if these teams have to do
it,
like, yeah, it doesn't break up the program. It sort of introduces the character of the program before they start doing it, so to get you right into it. So I love that they did that. And they are easily the most skilled skaters we have seen. That comes through in their 1 foot step sequence. Like the edges are just better. They are better skaters. They come off the ice. They have some reviews that do not go their way. Their components are a little lower than I thought they deserved. And they go into fourth place. And I don't really understand that in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand that. Or maybe I do understand that, because who is that in second place? It's China. Okay. So, sorry. I'm getting upset.
No, we can feel your passion, and I think that this is...
I can see the sweat on your brow.
It just felt like this. Like, it felt like they were just like doing what they could to make sure that this Chinese team would get a spot, is what it...
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but you know what? At this point, again, China's in second, and there's three teams to go. And all three of these teams should go ahead of the leader. This Swedish team, Mila and Nikolai, go up, and they're doing... a cool concept that Mark explains at the beginning of the program, that they're doing Romeo and Juliet in reverse, where they start with her death and they go back through the story.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a cool program. I like highly recommend watching it. And they are so good. I mean, they skate really so well. They have an issue on a stationary lift at the end where Nikolai starts to kind of lose his balance a bit, but they're great. And their tech score when they're going off the ice is about 58, which is like a point ahead of the leaders. Okay. Ted tells us that five elements are under review. They're in the kiss and cry. They're waiting. We're all waiting. And I really love, by the way, like, Mark and Ted did such a good job, I think, calling this situation, and calling not just this situation, all of the disciplines, where you could really feel that they were on the edge of their seats too with the skaters, of like who was going to get these spots. And you hear them while this wait is happening, trying to figure out what's going on with the scores, because they're watching it. They're watching the scores go down, and still we're waiting. Right before the PA announcer asks for the scores, Mark kind of goes, they've just changed again. The marks have just changed again. And all of a sudden, score comes up, and this team's technical score has gone from 58 to 54. And they have magically lost by 0.2 of a point to China.
Mm-hmm.
Her twizzles somehow went from a level 4 to a level 2, and his diagonal step went from a level 2 to a level 1, and their rotational lift went from a level 4 to a level 2. I am so beyond angry about this injustice. I am very hopeful that these two will end up getting a spot from a withdrawal later on. I'm very hopeful of that. But this team ends up the first team out when they should have been on the podium here, in my opinion. And I just, to some degree, there's always some manipulation going on in ice dance. Like, we know that. My stance is the most subjective and the most political discipline. Mm-hmm. But this was like tough to watch it happen in real time, or the scores were just getting manipulated.
Mm-hmm. Like the tomfoolery was just happening right in front of your face.
And yeah.
They weren't even trying to hide it.
No. I just sat there like despondent as Holly Harris and Jason Chan skated, by the way, a lovely program to Claire mm-hmm. de Lune. They skate great. They get their spot. I think they've improved a lot. I used to think that Holly was like always like ahead of Jason a little bit. And I feel like they're like more evenly matched now. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for them. They do great. And then Allison and Salulis for Lithuania finally get their Olympic spot. They've had many citizenship issues in the past. They've like, you know, didn't get to go to the last Olympics because of that. So they are finally going to get to go. She has her citizenship now, and they do like a voidy weird program with probably more spoken word than I need. But they pull it off, and their packaging is just right. And again, it's just like, they look way more comfortable than the rest of the field. And I still think this program has a lot of room to improve, which is a perfect place to be in September. Anyway,
I think just you really are summing it up perfectly. Like the frustration of just seeing these scores be kind of manipulated and moved around simply so that there can be a Chinese team getting a spot. That is frustrating as a fan to watch, because you really want to believe in the integrity of the sport, a sport that really does have integrity issues. And then when it's just like blatant and right in front of your face, it's just kind of like, you guys, what are we doing here? Especially when so much is at stake.
Like, I just felt a little disappointed as I saw it happening in real time.
It was deflating.
Yeah, it was just deflating.
Yeah, I think you start to feel deflated as it goes. And then to, like, keep the balloon analogy, you feel like the whole thing pops when you see what happens to Sweden. And I think that is just, like, it was just kind of devastating to watch that happen. But so Olympic spots go to Lithuania, Australia, Spain, and China get the spots.
And this is important because this is, you know, there's like that famous like rivalry between like, you know, Olivia Smart and Sarah Hurtado. Now they're both going to the Olympics at the same time, Sarah being the coach of the second Spanish team that was able to gain that spot.
Yes.
And Olivia as Dune 2.
As Dune 2. God. You know how I'm feeling about that. I'm so excited. Okay, shall we get into the women
of
Beijing?
Please.
Okay. As we all know, I think one of the biggest moments of this event was seeing the Russian neutral athlete, Adelia Petrosian, take the ice. I think everyone was really curious about what we are going to be seeing out there. Obviously, this is one of those athletes that for many months we've been hearing about these ultra credit elements, the quads, and really we weren't entirely sure what we were going to see from her at this event. I believe she was injured over the summer. I was also reading somewhere that there was a little bit of a back and forth about whether or not she was going to go and take that spot and compete to actually get the neutral athlete spot, but at the end of the day, she was the athlete that was entered. So we saw her very early on in the event, and I just want to say a couple of things. So Ateri Tuparice not allowed at the boards with her. Honestly, watching her in practice that week, everything just looked a little bit sticky to me. We weren't really seeing any super challenging elements. The triple triples there, no problem, but no quads, no triple axels. So her short program, like I said, early on in the event, she goes out. It is to Michael Jackson, which I fucking hate Michael
Jackson. I'm with you.
This is not against her personally. I'm so sick of them. I feel like they're just so easy for athletes to do, because it's like, this is Michael Jackson choreography. I'm going to do like a hip thrust, and I'm going to have my hand on my head, and I'm going to wear gloves. It's just like, it's a costume that athletes can put on and be like, this is a program that's been thought out, when in reality, it's just like,
Michael Jackson is the new Michael Bublé.
Yes. Yes. It's just, it's easy. My first note I wrote down is, God, I forget about how much they kick. I wanted to bring this up because this choreographer fucking loves a high kick. Out of nowhere. It's jarring.
It's awful.
And choreographically, nonsense. There's no need for this many kicks. I really, really think that I forgot how much the Russian women kick and just didn't appreciate how much time I got to witness women not kicking in a competitive space. So that's my first note. So she opens up, huge double axel, no problem.
Yeah.
Sketchiest triple lutz. I was really surprised. She did end up getting a cue on this. I think that was really forgiving. And shout out to the judge, Judge Six, who thought that this was zero worthy when everyone else gave it minus twos and minus threes. Just like really want to shout out to Judge Six. Mostly, like, the program itself, like, totally fine. It's a Michael Jackson program. There's some kicking. That Lutz was a little bit dicey. Everything else looked just fine.
I feel like I have been hearing about this skater for a year plus and how, and obviously, again, like you said, Ashley, she's not doing the triple axel quads that we think she would potentially do at the Olympics. But I feel like I've been hearing about this girl and she's just average at skating. Like, maybe she can do a triple axel and quad, and that is not average by any stretch. But she is relatively, like, just a normal, and I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying I think my expectations were way too high based on, like, the hype around this person. And maybe that was my own, I don't know, like, misremembering of the Atari girl experience. But she's just she's fine. She's her skating skills are not anything to write home about. Like, the seventh place girl in Japan can skate better than that. And, like, you know, the jumps are just also just fine.
I mean, the jumps are
actually,
like,
the jumps are not fine. I'm sorry. They're not.
And the high kick landings, like, it's just, it lacks control. It doesn't look nice. I'll tell you, like, to just, like, what Sarah said, I think she's a good skater. Like, she's very fine. Yeah. I don't think, I think she's, like, of the level, and I think this girl is also a good skater, of, like, Nina Pinzeroni. I think she's, like, of the same caliber. She interprets the music
she's
the same.
She's a good upper mid-tier athlete. I would not say, like, this is the girl right now that I think is fighting for the Olympic title. And who's to say what's going to happen if she adds in a quad, if she adds in a triple axel? Is that going to be really annoying to me that this kind of skate? I think we've gotten a really good taste of what the actual program itself is. And so now when she does eventually potentially add in quads and people are like, her skating is so good, her skating is so good, I don't know if you can make that argument. I think the only thing that would make it really exciting would be those quads, that triple axel. But for the most part, she's fine. I will go as far to say not really even that memorable skating skills-wise. Like, Russia's not known. That Russian women, I don't really think, are lauded for their skating skills the way that the Japanese women are. That's not what we're looking for. But at the same time, seeing this kind of skating without the quads really made it feel just kind of amateur to me.
Junior.
So, junior. She just looked young. But at the same time, like, I want to note the pressure that this athlete is under to go and get this spot. And your coach isn't allowed to stand at the boards and everyone's watching you to see what you're going to do. And you've taken a spot from other athletes that are fighting for that same spot. You're one of the few that actually qualified for the right to take this spot. It's a lot of pressure. So props to her for going out, getting this done. So she's the first one up. We see her. Like, we all agree. It's fine. Nothing
it's,
really special.
Yeah, it is fine. And yeah, we all know that there are situations where if somebody puts enough tech into something, they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
And maybe that becomes her story. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I felt like blessed that Luna Hendrix was injured. last year so that she could skate in the same competition as this girl, because I felt like that juxtaposition was so important.
Yeah.
To see it was. A like mature, developed skater and performer.
Yes.
Next to this.
Completely.
To be like, that's one of our world medalists from this quad. So that's mm-hmm. what we're up against.
Yeah. That's our girl.
Yeah. So that's our I'm
girl,
sorry.
And that's
keep
our
going.
Girl's back. Because she made sure it was visible in both programs.
Okay, as it should be.
Up next, we have the Chinese skater, Ryung Jang. I just want to say, short program, she's a little cutie. Full disclosure, she is a board toucher and she is a glove wearer. But yeah, there is something.
That's tough.
It's tough. But
double homicide.
Double homicide. I find it's as tasteful as it could be. Because mm-hmm. in some ways, she's not actually touching the boards because she has gloves. So it's like no fingerprints were left behind with the touch. So there is something
interesting
you
way
could make
of looking
the argument.
At that offense.
No crime was committed that she could be caught for.
There's no fingerprints.
Yes.
No
so,
DNA.
Something to consider there. I don't have a ton written up on her. She competed in a pantsuit. She skated to Frozen by Madonna. I like her. She's interesting, small, but fabulous spins. So competing in her mm-hmm. hometown, going after an Olympic spot, another athlete, I want to point out, the pressure is on. It's nice. You can hear that the audience is definitely behind her. Like, it's really cool. When she finishes her program, you can hear the Beijing audience really mm-hmm. applauding her. Mm-hmm. So
her hometown of Oberstdorf.
Her hometown of Germany.
Just like your hometown, Ashley.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You guys are shout from out, the same hometown.
Yeah. So shout out to Judge Six.
Shout out to Judge Six. Fucking Judge Six. I saw that and was like, I wish we could know who that was. So she obviously scores come up. She's really happy with them. It's about 6-ish points behind Adelia. She falls behind. Up next, one of our other girls. It has been a hot second since we have seen her, aka it's been since Worlds, but she was a mess at Worlds. So
yeah,
we are seeing
count.
Her back in form. Anastasia Gubanova from Georgia is back on the ice. And again, this is another athlete where it's kind of a surprise to see her here, but her Worlds performance was so absolutely atrocious. I'm just going to say that she wasn't able to get her spot to qualify in Boston. Mm-hmm. So she took the famous flight from Boston to Beijing to go get her spot.
She did.
No, she took the famous flight from Boston to India to Beijing.
Okay, so that's my next note.
She's taken up the mantle of cultural appropriation yes. this mm-hmm. season.
My first note, and I'm spelling this with a K. It's a...
I'm nervous.
It's a...
How many Ks?
Just one. I said it's a cunty little cultural appropriation program. And I said no choreography was noted. Choreographer was noted beyond her usual ones. Her usual ones being two white people. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is one
so
of
So you're
those
saying
programs.
She didn't take the flight from Boston to India?
I think she looked at a pamphlet and said, that place looks nice. I'll skate a program uh-huh. to it.
Sort of like the country she skates for. That looks nice.
Yeah, that's yeah. so true.
So true.
She is a tourist in many ways. But this program, listen, it's fun, sure. I get that. But come on. If you're going to do this, you could have done it like Meryl and Charlie, and it would actually be so good, and it would be something that so many people could get behind. But now, because you've just done like this super white girl going out and skating to Indian, she has a bindi on her forehead.
I know.
It's
I
know. She's going all out appropriation and, you know, like.
Yep.
It's not the 90s. You're not Gwen Stefani not from right. Anaheim, California.
There's a way to turn this into appreciation, but she's got to do a lot more legwork for it to be that. And so I see this program. I get why it's fun. I get why people are like, oh, this is like, it's nice to see her look happy and having fun on the ice. Love that. Yeah. But like, please give me something I can get behind. I can't get behind this because you had two white people choreograph an Indian program for you. Like,
mm-hmm.
Mix
well,
it
it's
up.
Also
do
the
work.
White people didn't. It's like what makes it so offensive is well, it just makes it so upsetting to me is that it's obvious that the white people who choreographed it didn't put any research into
no.
it.
No, There's no education. This is a costume.
And you can feel that. It's not, it's just like the movements are just like, they think that that's what it looked like. There's just no research.
No, 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 no. They said, I think they do their fingers like this. And I think that if you do the little dot thing on your head, it's going to look cute. Like, that is the vibe that I got. And the program itself, though, I'm happy for her. Opening combo was fucking huge. A full extra point and some change on her GOE. Mm-hmm. It was a flip toe. It was so good. I was like, we're back, baby. Okay.
We're back, baby.
We're back. What was her short program last year? Money, money, money.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And she took all that money that she got and she spent it on this
opening
combo.
Spent it on a
combo.
Sorry. Oh.
She just said sorry.
She just said sorry and then did her flip toe.
Yeah.
Lutz in the program was great. Like, just nice to see her fighting back from last year. The energy last year, it ended on such a down. It didn't feel great. And so to see her start off like this, it's like, okay, great. Nice to see you looking refreshed. Go get some education in what you're skating to so that we can really get behind it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, on to our next daughter, Luna Hendricks.
Luna.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Thank you for coming back to us.
Thank you for showing this much skin on the ice for us yet
finally.
Again.
Finally.
She does have one cut of costume, but I'm not mad about it.
She does.
Yeah, and that cut
spirals
is
down
everywhere.
Her body. Like, she goes nipple cover, into a skirt, but on a curve.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it.
I do too.
It reminded me of Mariah Bell's Roxy Hart costume, but slightier. Yeah. And it was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. This program, she was fighting for her life. I'm going to be honest. The opening combo, bad. Double axel. Looks like she almost broke her knee on the way out.
This was another, I thought, generous call, but she didn't get a call on this double axel.
They said, you're doing a lot for this sport. We're going to look the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If your knee looks like it's about to be broken upon landing, your rotation has not been completed.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of like a physical fact. But they said, you stood up. And so
she did.
Keep going, girly. And she did.
Yeah. This program made me feel like just like she got nervous.
I mean, she was talking about the mental challenge of competing and how it's getting harder as she gets older. And especially when you're competing against the youngest skater in the world, Nina Pinzeroni, of course it's going to be getting harder. But in this specific situation,
it's like, this is your only chance. I mean, she might, in theory, beat Nina out for the one spot, but that nobody wants them to be in that position.
No.
And she hasn't, you know, competed in a while. Like, it's... I'm sure that there were just a lot of
I think
nerves.
This truly watching it, I was like, she's nervous. That's all. I wasn't like, she's out of shape, because that girl looks in shape.
Yeah, she does. She's been doing the Cypress team's rhythm dance in the off-season working out.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't show that much skin if you're not confident in the shape you're in.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's only one shape you can be in, and it's in.
In. Otherwise, your skin is coming out of your costume.
Yeah. You're not
and
going
nobody
in
wants
your
that.
Costume.
No. She's skating to what I describe as an Italian radio bop. It is
a mess.
I have been pleading with her
via
this podcast
to know
for years to get a program done by someone else. Just try it one. It's not even to say that his choreography is bad, but I just want to see something different on her that's not this. This makes her, she's so fucking expensive, makes her look a little cheap. And I don't like that. I think it's just like, the beat drops at one point and it's like Skrillex or something. And she's doing a spin.
Yeah.
Why is she doing a spin on the beat drop?
That was a weird choreographic choice, like compositional choice. Like, why is that where
it
is?
All of
it. I'm just like, if I could get my...
Because she could pull off a beat drop in choreo.
Yes.
In, like, dance choreo. So let her
do it. Speaking of dance choreos, Mark on the broadcast mentions that she had three separate dance block sections. Which...
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Stand hell yeah.
In place and dance.
And block.
And block it.
Block and breathe. That's block what I always breathe. Say.
Every time I watch her, I'm just like, if I could get my sticky little fingers on that girl, it would just be the red light district.
If Shay Lin could be in the same space, breathe the same air as her for like a week, that's what I want. I want Shay Lin to give her a program, but to no avail. It's fine. Finally, I wrote, she can hit a position. I forgot how much this girl will... She kicks too, but when she kicks, she holds and she reaches the end.
It's an extension.
And then she looks at you and she flips off the camera.
Yes.
I fucking love it. She's just... Even though I don't like this program, I really don't. I hate it, actually. I'm going to get behind it because I love her. I love her so much. And it was nice to just see her skating again because it was a reminder of like, oh, that's right. She's a woman.
Yes.
She's just a joy. Woman. She's just a joy to have in these events. And a breath of fresh air.
She's a star.
A lot of the time. She's a star.
It's so nice to see a star out there. She has star quality because like you said, I don't... Both of these programs are like not my cup of tea because
I don't
like... The long
program is better. It's better. There's not a spin on a beat drop. Come on.
No, but
Skrillex beat drop is where she lives. She probably should do a Skrillex beat drop. Maybe not spin.
I'm not trying to rush you along, but I am going to say I can't do this people spinning on their knees anymore.
I have another note about that. Stop spinning on your knees out of spins. Stop. I know that it's a level. Find a different way. There has to be another way.
Or even in the choreographic step, people are doing like a lunge and then they're like spinning down the ice on their knees. And I'm just like, is not the local rink's spring fling show.
I have one person though. There's one person that's allowed to do it because I have a list of honorable mentions.
Please. Okay.
Josephine Taligard.
Well, she's allowed to do whatever she wants.
She can do whatever she wants. I really don't care.
She can actually perform to an audience, unlike most of the people in any of these competitions. I was really gutted for her.
Me too. Okay, so short program. Adelia is in first. Anastasia is in second. Luna is in third. And then we have Ryun in fourth. I just want to note, we have Stefania Yakuleva, who is going to be in fifth here. She's also in fifth in the free skate, but she does end up slipping down into sixth place. And so she's not going to qualify, but it's just one of those really unfortunate situations where people moving around on the ice, she's just not able to secure that spot. But shout out in her short program, she has a sit spin twizzle. That's cool. Super fun.
Liked watching her.
I liked watching her too. She was she was great, and it was just such a bummer for her to not really be able to secure that spot, even though she kind of did what she needed to do, just people moving around. But also first year senior and representing Cyprus, really cool. Okay, free skate. Adelia, I was looking over this program. She only has one minus GOE, and it's on her cell. Another red costume, I believe somewhere I saw someone mentioning it's Russian red, which I honestly, like, sure, whatever, who cares? But at the same time, I think this is so important to note. When you let Russian athletes in and compete as neutral athletes, they are never going to be neutral athletes. It's not even about the athletes themselves. It's about the Russians behind them. It's about the fan base behind them. It's so incredibly disrespectful to clean sport, but also to the Ukrainian athletes. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no such thing as a neutral athlete.
There's no such thing as a neutral athlete. I think it's just like very important to note that. This program, she's skating to some like Astor Piazzolla, the Yo Soy Maria thing. Music is playing and she is doing
gorgeous,
tango.
By the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Add that to my mix.
I will.
She's doing tango moves and music is playing. I want to note she does serve some face more than I feel like I've seen Russian athletes in the past. She's also an older Russian athlete. She's 17, so she can like present a bit more. So I think this piece of music is like a decent vehicle for her. She is skating squeaky clean according to her sheet. I'm watching these jumps saying, that feels like a cue. That feels like a cue. That feels like a cue. But okay, I don't know. The camera angle could be different for the judges, or it could just be there's a Russian athlete out on the ice and they don't really feel like going back and looking over these rotations. I didn't feel like she was as undoubtedly clean as everyone was kind of judging her on the panel.
I think she skated well enough. Like, I think she deserves a spot in that based on completely what people did in this field.
Completely. So
we could nickel and dime her on the calls. And I wish there maybe was some more nickel and diming going on in a lot of places at this competition. But
yeah, that's true.
But I take your point. And also I'm just sort of like, well, I don't think she cost anyone a spot.
No, she did. She was going to get calls. This spot.
She was going to get one.
I'm more just saying it. It's like it's a preview of what's to come.
Yes,
and that's
totally
frustrating. Her spins were a mess. She went from Beijing back to Russia on one of them and then came back and got like plus threes and plus fours. So be consistent, you guys.
And famously, I mean, Beijing Another and Russia are flight. Kind of far apart.
It's a long
Well, they've grown closer. They've grown closer.
That's so true. That's why this competition is in Beijing.
Yes. I mean, yeah,
second,
I just like it's it feels a little like I think she did a really good job.
Yeah, she did a great job. Lots of pressure. She got the job done.
Yeah.
Check. Moving on. Happy for her as an athlete to have that kind of success under pressure.
Yeah. But compared to Luna and even Anastasia, it does feel soulless. There is no meaning to the movements. There's no meaning behind the, and it's, you know, that comes with like years of experience that somebody who's in their 20s has, that somebody who's 17 doesn't have.
Yeah.
But to me that should be reflected in the marks.
Yeah.
So
speaking of soulless, because I know Ashley has to go, so we should finish.
I was going to say, speaking of soulless ghost, was Gubanova Anastasia's free skate. There are two single line drawings.
Oh, that's
almost
not
kissing
the soulless I was thinking of, which is so funny. Okay,
on the
keep
back.
Going.
I feel like the drama with like the cuts of dialogue. I can hear you. I can feel you. Like, I like it. I've eat it up. It's cheesy.
I don't. I actually really like this program on her.
Me too.
But the dialogue, I was like, we don't need this.
Oh, I'm into it. I'm into it. Jumps look a little tight here. Not going to lie. But like this outside of September is going to be lovely. I think it's going to be a nice job for her. She did her job. There's maybe going to be emotion in this program eventually.
Who knows?
Who can
knows?
Say?
Who can say?
She might get shot back out into space.
Yeah, she could. Maybe she's doing this from space, and that's why the emotion that is not present.
She left the emotions in space.
Yeah.
She's waiting for them to fall back to Earth.
Yeah. So, decent program. Again, got her job done. Second place. Luna Hendricks, girlfriend, opens up with her gorgeous triple lutz, triple toe. Great
gorgeous.
Jumps after that. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Double flip, whatever. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
She has a dance breakdown that I think is going to be a lot better when she's not worried about qualifying. I think she was saving some energy for other things, so couldn't focus on her dance breakdown. But I'm just proud of her. I mean, also, these are good enough programs to really start understanding how you stack up against the other women. I think the top scoring programs combined right now, or program free skate, is 143, and she was sitting at like a 138. So, you know,
with a double flip.
With a double flip.
And with it not being fully, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what, she lost by less than 5 points here, and she was a mess in the short program and had, yeah, lost a lot of points on that flip in the free, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's overall, fine. She's in a great spot, really excited. My final note for her is, girl came back, she gave us exactly what we deserve, French tips, cutouts, and like a bold red lip. So we are back, baby. I'm really happy to see her. It's like, it's time. We have Victoria Safanova, who is in seventh place.
This was what I was saying when I said, speaking of soulless.
She ended up moving into fourth. She was the Belarusian neutral, quote unquote, athlete. As soon as I see a skirt this long on a woman that's not Japanese, I know that they are most likely going to be boring. And she was lots of kicks.
It's so true, though.
It's so funny. It's just like, it's just so funny.
I just, when I see a girl with a skirt this long, and when I see a man with a ponytail, I'm going, they're fresh.
Yeah.
The farm, like they're you fresh already know. From the cult. Like, yeah. Come on.
It's just a lot of fabric. It's a lot of fabric to have to carry across the ice with you. And unless you know how to manipulate your blades like the Japanese women do and skate into the ice, you're gonna be slow. Mm-hmm. And she was slow. You're gonna have to kick a lot to make it look like you're moving.
It's just true.
Kind of meh. But I'm happy for her. She got her spot. Like, that is kind of in summation what happens. Ryung has a really rough skate, sketchy triple lutz attempt. I don't really know what happened there. I don't think she even got credit for a double. Something happened. Brings it back with her triple sow combo. Great. Falls on a triple loop, and I'm like, oh shit, girl, it's going downhill. It's looking bad. And then squirrel friend like locks in and gets the rest of her job done. Clearly is like, no, we are going to the Olympics. I'm not going to let it end this way. Pulls everything back together, ends up in sixth, but it is good enough for her to pull up to fifth. And so she's going to round out our top five qualifiers.
Ashley, there good job.
Did that I was do
very
okay?
Good.
Yeah, no, you did yeah. Great.
Okay.
Congratulations.
I think it helped that I was under a time crunch, so I had to like be good. That
no,
usually
it was good.
Is my best way.
You get your lore card in the mail soon. But I will say, like, now I feel like the Olympic season is truly underway if we've allocated some more Olympic spots. One more shout out in this episode before we close to Valter Vartanen, 38 years old, did not qualify a spot, but 38 years old in his 20th senior season. He was missing some patients this week. I will say that. He missed a few patient visits at his doctor's office.
Agreed. Huge shout out to Dr. Valter. And huge shout out to all these athletes. Just to wrap everything up, as a reminder of who got Olympic spots this weekend, in the men's event, Peter Gumenik got one. As a neutral athlete, South Korea, Mexico, Ukraine, and Chinese Taipei earned spots. In the women's event, Adelia Petrosian and Victoria Safanova earned spots as neutral athletes. Georgia, Belgium, and China earned spots as well. In pairs, China, Armenia, Japan got spots. In dance, Lithuania, Australia, Spain, and China got spots. And my sappy thing that I'll say is just congratulations to everyone who puts themselves out there like this. It's never easy to do, and I admire skaters who do it year round, but I think it just really shines through at a competition like this where a lot of skaters are coming from places with fewer resources and less skating infrastructure and less skating tradition and just a lot less to work with. And it takes a lot of courage and just shows kind of the power of the Olympic dream. And it's a joy to watch everyone skate and show what they can do and their art. And we really appreciate that.
Totally. Of what it really is like all about and that Olympic dream and what it means to everybody.
And we'll be back next week. Threat.
Mm-hmm. Threat, follow through, get ready. And we'll see you here. Just like Sarah said, next week, threat.
Okay, bye.
Bye.